there is appropriate laughter. We let's get that out of the way to begin with. So today's topic, walking with the Lord, and now walking with the Lord, we enjoy the gift of laughter and cheerfulness, and all springs out of joy, which we'll get to in a minute, and I hope we get through. I mean, I got notes like you wouldn't believe. And I'm going to read a lot of scripture today, and I'll call out the references, but let me tell you a little story that happened yesterday. Yesterday, we love to play games as a family. And Benjamin waddled in the den with a Monopoly game. And I hadn't seen it in a while. Yeah, and it probably should have been his first tip-off that I got real enthusiastic about playing. he said, well, I played this online. Jacob said, I've never really played, and I've started going back. There's a reason we don't play Monopoly anymore. and Monopoly brings out, And Monopoly's a game of chance, but if you're playing with people who've never played before, you know, there are strategies. And I employed those strategies, and I had fun. At the end of the Monopoly game, you know, and I'm scraping everything back, you know, after I'd wiped them out, you know. And remember the old James Dobson line? He said he played Monopoly one time, and he had really gotten, you know, feisty in it, and everybody got mad at him. And at the end of the game, he's putting everything back in the box, and the Spirit just spoke to him, said, James, everything's going back in the box. Don't get connected to these temporal things too much. Do you know it is a documented scientific fact? I'm going to say it, not pop psychology, scientific fact, that you live longer when you have a lifestyle that includes laughing. Now, I love to laugh. I was trying to laugh in this game, and everybody wasn't laughing with me. So that's a different kind of laugh. You're not laughing at me, but I love to laugh. One of my favorite ways to laugh is we sit around and we watch Andy Griffith, the Andy Griffith Show. And I watch Barney, and I've seen those things so many times, but when I see it again, I laugh. You know, it's just funny. And we laugh at the things we do, and we laugh appropriately. I laugh. And I'm going to say this, I laugh in the face of Satan because he has no hold on me either. It is a luxury, and it is a luxury given by the Lord. Laughter has been called the tranquilizer with no side effects. Yeah. It is approaching life with a happy, happy heart. Mm-hmm. When I saw this topic coming up, I went back to my books, and I have a biography on John Wesley, and I pulled it out to make sure I read it correctly. And I did. I opened it up, and it talked about John Wesley. It said, John Wesley, and you think of John Wesley, you've seen sketches of him, you know, the robe and the whole nine yards, and talking about grace or talking about, you know, sin, whatever it might be. But it said in there, he said, John Wesley, as he traveled, he said he would stop at places, you know, they would have these little, you could call it a tavern, but it's not just a drinking place. It's a place where they slept, place where they ate, and so forth, on the road. And it said he would be in there and not a long period of time, and he would have people at other tables listening to him because he told humorous stories. And so I said, that's amazing. I saw a video or a film, and of course it was a film. It was not a video. It was long before video. And when I was a younger person in a youth group, and I remember they showed Jesus and his disciples walking, and they were walking from one town to another, and they were playing and laughing and so forth. And I was like, that can't be. It couldn't be that they had the same emotions as we might have. Surely when they traveled, it was all, let us hear from you, Lord. And if God taught through sorrow, and God taught them about the compassion and the passion of himself, he also must have taught them through having happiness and joyfulness that his Father gave. We see sketches of Jesus. Not that we have a clue what they look, but you know, you've seen the paintings. Have you ever seen, well, you might have seen one, so I don't ask ever, but do you ever see Jesus smiling? Well, I can imagine the emotions you have are the emotions God gave you, and they must be cultivated and used properly now. We're going to talk about how we use them improperly. Proverbs 14:30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Proverbs 17:20, heart. You know these words. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. According to the Bible, a happy heart serves the rest of the body a continual feast. Laughter is better than taking steroids. It provides a natural high, and I'm going to use that word, a natural high for that is a lasting lift for the entire body. You know what happens when you laugh. And I don't know I'm not a biology type person. All the endorphins and all that stuff goes on. And it just changes, you know, you on the inside. Especially when it's one of those laughs that you really just, you know, excuse me for being graphic. One of those spew milk on the, you know, keyboard type thing. Because it's just so funny, you know. Or it might be one of those situations you sit around and in a group and you start telling stories and it's just so funny. Or it might be in a prayer time when you are just so excited about what God has done for you and you just start laughing uncontrollably. Maybe uncontrollably is too far, but you start laughing because it comes from the inside. A cheerful, a continual feast. Leslie Weatherhead said this, "The biblical picture of Jesus is that of a radiant, laughing, loving friend adored by children. He was magnetic in his appeal, and his appeal was so that people were attracted to him, and people are rarely attracted to other folks who don't have a good sense of happiness about them." You know that is true. You know there's people you just are drawn to. You just like to be around them. We're talking about playing Monopoly. Jack Grissom, our friend who's gone on to be with the Lord. In his former life, before he became a Christian, he was a professional gambler. And he told me one time, or told somebody one time, he said, "We used to play Monopoly. We played for real money." That's when it really gets serious, you know. But he became a Christian, and he was a happy person. Wouldn't you agree with that? A happy person. You know, just he could find humor in everything. And we can find humor in those things too, because most of the time we laugh at who? At ourselves. We laugh at the funny things we do and just who we are, because we have been created. And we are created a little lower than the angels. And we have so many mess ups and so many just things about us that are humorous. But I also want to encourage us to laugh and fill our mouth with laughter. Job chapter 8, verse 21. Job. Do I need to say it again? Now, Job had everything bad in the world happen to him. Would you agree with that? Chapter 8, verse 21. It says, "He will fill your mouth with laughter, your lips with shouts of joy." Now, I've seen people, whether it's on YouTube or at a stadium or a coliseum, I've seen people act weird when things go their way, right? When the touchdown is completed, woo, yeah, whatever it might be. You know, you see people just exuberate joy. You know, there's laughter and there's downcast and then there's joy. A couple years ago, I was at Calera High School, and there was a touchdown coming, and the guy and I was doing my proper position. I was running backwards. I'm the best backwards runner you can ever imagine. I practice it, you know, and I was running backwards. But somehow, and I don't know how this didn't happen more, I got twisted up. The next thing I know, I'm looking up at this guy. I'm laying on the ground, and my fellow officials came over with somber tones. "Well, Andy, we're so sorry you failed." Do you think they did that? No! You know, it was, and they laughed not at me at my expense. They laughed because that's just one of the things that happens to us. And it was great. And, you know, and we love to have those kind of laughing times. Laughter aids the mellowing out process. In today's lingo, it helps us to chill out. And it's not that the things aren't important. It's that they get in their right perspective. And when you get life in its right perspective, you are free to laugh, free to enjoy. Sometimes we feel guilty about enjoying life. Is that true? Sometimes, I'll be just candid here, real candid. They called yesterday, and Jonathan is at the hospital with all these issues. And, you know, I said, okay, well, you know, he has these issues. And we stopped and we prayed for him. But you know, not long after that, we were back to the Monopoly game or whatever it was. Very trivial thing. Something that does not matter and all that kind of stuff. And I said, boy, I kind of feel guilty about it. And God said, no, you can enjoy yourself even in the midst, because the trials are going to be there all the time. Let me read some verses. Luke 6:21. "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will," what? "Laugh." There's weeping, but there's also laughing. Psalm 126, 2 and 3. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with the songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we were filled with joy. Ecclesiastes 3, 2, 3, 4. I'll mention these because just need to mention this. Solomon wrote, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. Time to plant, time to harvest, time to kill, time to heal. Time to tear down, time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance. Of course, you know, if Solomon could see into the New Testament, he would see that even in the grieving we can dance. What about Proverbs 31? You know, Proverbs 31 talks about the godly woman. In verses 25 and 26, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She can laugh. There is nothing that's coming my way that God can't handle. And I can laugh at what is to come. We read the verses from Proverbs, Proverbs 17, 22, Proverbs 15, 13 about the happy heart makes the face cheerful, but the heartache crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15, 15, all the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. And we're going to come back to that verse again and again. Laughter. Remember this though. Laughter appropriately reveals inward joy. But there is a warning in Scripture. As a matter of fact, it's seen in a few places. And let me mention one of these warnings. Proverbs 14, 13. Laughter can conceal a heavy heart. But when the laughter ends, the grief remains. Even in laughter, the heart may ache and rejoicing may end in grief. So we know that even in our laughing, sometimes there's still hurt. But we need to beware that our laughter comes from the right place and our laughter is not masking the hurt. Have you ever known someone, they're never serious? You know, that gets on your nerves. You know, they're never serious. Everything's a joke. Well, everything's not a joke, you know. We can laugh, but we also have seriousness in life. And sometimes those things can be all mixed up together like a can of paint. We mix it together. But somebody who never is serious is concealing something on the inside. You know, the word comedy, you know, comedies were, when they used to do comedies, they put on a mask, right? In the old days, that's where the word comes from. And it was really tragedy that was put into humorous form. You know, clowns, you know, some of you, anybody have a problem with clowns? I know some of you would really. Well, you know, clown is like that. You know, what the theory is, you know, it's part of the mask. I conceal what's on the inside and have a happiness on the outside. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a happy laughter that springs up from the joy that Christ gives us. There's time not to laugh now. But, you know, and we want to be aware of these. I'll get to these more in a moment. Matthew 9, 24, the girl was dead. They brought and Jesus was there. And Jesus said, go away, the girl is not dead but asleep. You know what they did? They laughed at him. Now that's bad laughter. We start laughing at one another. Let me give you a little tip. This is my tip, personal. This is what I do. And I started setting this principle years ago. I could do it later, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now. I have a principle that I do not, to the best of my ability, laugh at others at the expense of something that might hurt them. In that, I do my best to not laugh or pick on people, especially concerning unchangeable features that they have. How many of you were kids? You know, some of us, you know, I remember when a kid, of course, the guy Friday took a lawnmower to the side of my hair, you know, so we can laugh about that. You know. When I was a kid, it was right before, at the beginning of the 70s, before we had helmet hair. Now, I had helmet hair after a while. Matter of fact, I didn't have ears for a few years, you know, they were all covered. But before that, we all had these little, hardly any hair. And my ears were probably a little bigger than my head at the time and so forth, you know. And somebody pointed that out to me. And they laughed about that. It hurt my feelings. Now, see, that is laughter. That is an unchangeable feature. And it's not appropriate to pick on or laugh at people about unchangeable features. God laughs, though, at the wicked. In Psalm 37, verses 12 and 13, the wicked plot against the righteous and they gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked because he knows their day is coming. Have you ever thought about God like that? That's what it says about the Lord. Enjoy it now, bud. I'm laughing at you because your day of reckoning is coming. And God talks about vengeance. Now, he says, vengeance is his, not mine. So I try not to laugh at people in that. But I say, you know, God's laughing at you because God knows your day is coming. In Psalm verse chapter 2, let us break their chains and throw off the shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Have you ever thought about that? The one enthroned in heaven, God Almighty, the Father, laughs. That is an emotion he has. Well, one of the great examples of laughter is found in Genesis. And there was Sarah. And Sarah, you know, you're going to have a kid. And he said, God has brought me laughter. And I guarantee you, now you said Aunt Madeline was either 93 or 98, right in there. If somebody said, you know, well, you know, guess what? You're going to have a baby. I can imagine there would be godly laughter. There's no way, Jose, you know. And we see that this laughter took place. And it said, but Sarah denied it, said, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And it says in Genesis chapter 18, verses 12 through 15, and verse 15 there, she says, I did not laugh. She was afraid. But then the Spirit said to her, no, you did laugh. You laughed at God because you said this was impossible. Now, here is your baby. And you know what they named the baby? Laughter. Laughter. His, this child that we, you know, Isaac, we know is, the name is Laughter. Well, just a few more verses and then we'll kind of put this in context. Some of the New Testament, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We understand from Scripture about each day, right? Each day there's mercies that are new. What else about each day we see in Scripture? We see that this is the day the Lord has made. Let us do what? Rejoice and be glad in it. My grandmother cross-stitched me a few things, and one time she cross-stitched this little thing and it fit me so well. She said, be glad that you have something to do today, whether you like it or not. And I said, oh, that's so mean. Because I get sometimes, I'm an idealist. I like everything perfect. You know, I like Christmas Day, you know, everybody's sitting around, you know, got the cider, everybody feels good, you know, the dishes are washed, and it's never like that. I'm an idealist. Anybody else like that? I mean, everything's going to be ideal. When we all get in the car to go somewhere, you know, over the river and through the woods, you know, it's just going to be like that. And it never is. And God has taught me to learn to laugh and enjoy life even when things aren't perfect, because they will never be like that here. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any one of you suffering? Then pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. I love to sing. And singing is part of our letting out of our laughter. Well, many other verses. Now, in Galatians, Jacob read the book of the Galatians 5 a few minutes ago. And we won't really do an outline from Galatians 5, but I just want to mention a few things about that. Jesus taught us that he was going to send us this third person of the Trinity. This person. He's not an it. He's not just a force. He is the person, the Holy Spirit, to come live in us. And we see in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit is the mark of our salvation. Romans 8 and 9 tells us that without the Holy Spirit in us, we don't belong to Christ. And when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us. And in our filling with the Holy Spirit, we start to exemplify, or we give testimony to being a Christian, not by the things we do, but by the fruit we see. And we see the fruit of the Spirit. Now let's go through those again. You know, you see the fruit of the Spirit. Love, right? And what's the second part? Joy. Joy. So happiness and laughter comes from a wellspring of joy. When you get down to the inside and you drill down deep, your happiness, your joyfulness all comes from having the right spirit. My spirit is right with God, therefore I can laugh. Therefore I can even take situations in life and I can laugh at those situations. I love to, you know, you're going to think, you know, you're a simple person. Yes, I am. I used to sit and watch Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin movies. Anybody ever, you know, I'm not French. I know the French love Jerry Lewis. And Christy, she's just like, I can't get that. They're just stupid. They're just, yeah, I know. She's just not, you know, doesn't have those finer tastes and all that. But I can remember like it was yesterday, laying on the den floor. And when they used to have movies at 10:30 on Sunday nights. I mean, you didn't have movies all the time like you did now. Everybody's in bed. It's probably summertime. And I sat up and I watched a movie called Sailor Beware. And it was Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin. And I laughed. I just laughed so much that my side hurt. I love to go hear good comedians. I'm talking about clean comedians. Maybe Ken Davis, who's a Christian comedian. Or Mark Lowry. You ever seen Mark Lowry? When he starts going, you know, I laugh because it's so true. You know, I love the one when he's talking about his mother playing the piano and seeing him acting up and she's mouthing up to him, I'm going to get you. I love to just laugh at that. And I can even go into the secular world if it's clean. When I hear Jeff Foxworthy talking about you must be a redneck and all that kind of stuff, man, it just makes me laugh because it's so true. And we see that we can laugh at the absurdities of life. And Jesus did that as well. And I'm going to kind of show you how he did that in a few minutes. But in Galatians, we see this fruit of the Spirit is love. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, I remind you to fan into flame this gift of God, which is through you by the laying on of my hands. And sometimes we think about being full of the Spirit as knowing God's Word, and that's part of it. We think about being full of the Spirit as a person who is really nailing sin to the cross in our lives, and that is the biggest part of it. But to see this fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to have love and joy and peace. Now, let's take the word peace for a moment. Jesus demonstrated peace. He demonstrated peace one day in such an absurd fashion that it's hard for me to even get my mind around it. They were on a boat. A storm came up. You ever been there? Storm came up. Storms of life come up all the time. And they're over there and the boat's capsizing. They're pouring water out of the thing. And somebody went to find Jesus. Remember what he was doing? He was asleep. Why was he asleep? Because he rested in the knowledge that he could have peace with his Father. His Father had him where he wanted him to be, therefore he could have peace. Do you have peace like that? Peace that says, I can sleep through the storm because I'm at rest in Jesus. And they went and they woke him up and they said, Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? And he's like, are you, you know, another demonstration. So he looks at the storm and what does he say? Peace be still. And I'm going to tell you what, when you have the power of the Lord in your life and you can look at those storms that are approaching or that are there in your life and you can say, peace be still, you can't help but have a joyful and happy heart. Peace be still. Peace be still. Paul didn't want the early Christians to measure their spirituality by how well they could show the Spirit off in the gifts. We have gifts. We have natural talents, and he gives us spiritual gifts. But he didn't say, show off your spiritual gifts. He said, demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In that, part of that joy is that we don't laugh at the earlier verses. Sexual immorality, or impurity, or debauchery, or idolatry, or witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissenters, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. We don't laugh at those things. We laugh at the fact that God has enabled us to overcome those things. And we have true laughter. Well, let's go to what Scripture says. Laughter is the best medicine. Now, was it Reader's Digest that used to have a say, yeah, laughter is the best medicine? And I always wanted to submit those jokes because you got paid for the jokes. And every month, I'm going to submit a joke, you know. And there's this one place that we go to and they do jokes from the audience. And they said you can submit a joke text message. And I've submitted a joke. And I never have had my joke receive. And I think about laughter being the medicine. And so it brings me to the point we must look for laughter. I mean, look for laughter even in strange circumstances. Have you ever had your car have so many things go wrong with your car that you finally just, there's nothing else to do but laugh? I've had that happen, you know. And it's kind of like, you know, you daddy's told this many times that, you know, I can't remember whose law it is, the one that everything always goes back. Yeah, Murphy's law. Yeah. And, you know, there was a time when you would buy a suit and you'd get a jacket and two pair of pants, you know. And he said, you know, the way it works for me in life, I buy a suit with two pair of pants and I burn a hole in a jacket, you know. Instead of having the extra suit, that's, you know, just goes for me like that sometimes. Ecclesiastes, how about this time to laugh? And I want you to really pursue those times to laugh. There's a reason. There's a good reason. When you go into children's hospital, those nurses are fabulous. Fabulous. If you want to go see God's work in action, go to children's hospital. And they have a ball up there in serious circumstances. Some of those kids are there, and they're going to be there for a few days, and they're going home. Some of those kids, they have terminal, or at least have been declared terminal illnesses. And the nurses and the doctors put laughter in the midst of those situations because they know what good it does. Laughter is real medicine. We need to look for that. There is the laughter and joyfulness and singing and shouting and being a great witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I encourage you to hang out with people who make you laugh. Read funny books. Greeting cards, newsletters, whatever, comic strip, whatever, you know, just sometimes create some laughter. I love to read stories that are just funny, you know, and I read those stories. And sometimes, like I said, I watch Don Knotts on TV and I laugh. Well, those are external sources. I get that. But laughing is just so good for us. Share jokes. I got more corny jokes than you can shake a stick at. Mary Catherine was telling me not long ago, she said, I just love to sit around and listen to Pawpaw stories, you know. And we've heard them so much, you know. At first, you know, I'd heard them so much, and now the boys, they'd hear them. Like, let me tell you a story. I said, yeah, I've heard that one, yeah. And now, you know, but love to tell them again and again and again and again. Do you like to tell stories again? And I like to tell them again and again and again. And every now and then, the fish grows a little bit. We get all that. But I love to tell those stories. I was thinking about, you know, this Christian bear, B-E-A-R, you know, real bear. And this man, he was running, and a bear started chasing him, and the bear was chasing him, and it was on a Sunday morning, and he started praying, Lord, Lord, I just forgive me. I skipped church to come bear hunting. I'm so sorry. It'll never happen again. And he's running and running. And please make a Christian out of this bear. And all of a sudden, God answered his prayer, and that bear fell on his knees. And he said, Lord, for what I'm about to receive, make me thankful. So, you know, we can laugh at stuff like that. We can tell, you know, jokes, corny jokes, because they just make us laugh a little bit. It doesn't trivialize life. It is medicine for the soul. I advise you to take a daily dose of laughter. Now, do you take supplements or medicine or, you know, eat your Cheerios, whatever you do each day? Take a daily dose of laughter. I just love to, you know, just let that be part of your routine. Make sure you laugh. I heard this. Let me just tell you this. A child laughs on average 400 times a day. An adult laughs on average 15 times a day. Something sad about that. You ever seen babies when they start laughing and then they all start laughing and they just laugh so much they can't control themselves? They just laugh because things sometimes just create laughter. It's not just being funny. It's we have something. Babies are at peace. They don't worry about where their next meal is coming from. Hey, I've never thought about that. Somebody will bring it. God says, your needs, I'll take care of them. We can laugh. We're free to laugh. Mayo Clinic reported that laughter aids breathing by disrupting your normal respiration pattern and increasing your breathing rate. It can even help clear mucus from your lungs. Norman Cousin used to say that laughter is so beneficial for the body that it is like an inner jogging has taken place after you have a spell of laughing. Hearty laughter is cardioprotective. You want to do something for your heart? Laugh. I didn't say it's going to fix everything, but make sure you laugh. Laughter decreases the stress hormones. You know it does. It's a great stress reliever. Norwegian University of Science and Technology reported that a good sense of humor cuts one's chance of death early. I'm going to read it. Don't know the truth. I'm going to say what's said by 70%. Wow. Proverbs 15:30. Do you believe the Bible? A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. Good news makes for good health. That's from the New Living Translation of the book of Proverbs. If you believe the Word of God, we can really have this cheerfulness. In Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Proverbs 14:30, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Laughter is good medicine. Third thing here under this middle section. Follow the Creator in laughing. It says in Psalm 2:4, the one enthroned on heaven laughs. Now I'm going to go back to what I was telling you about Jesus a minute ago. You know, Jesus used a lot of Hebrew humor. Hebrew humor, we don't get it because we don't live in that world. You know, we are a linear thinking folks. A, B, C, D, every sermon, 1, 2, 3, well, in their way of communicating, it was more circular than linear. And he used all these examples, these absurd examples. In Matthew 11, they called him a drunkard and he laughed it off. In Matthew chapter 9, they were reproached, his disciples, because they did not fast. And he said they couldn't. They were too busy at the wedding having a party. He really turned things on them so much. You can just see him. You can see the disciples. Yeah, go get him. You know, he's with us. We stand behind him. In Matthew chapter 12, they were accused, the disciples, of violating the Sabbath by plucking ears of grain. And he took great delight in pointing out that David once violated the same law by eating the sacred bread, which was reserved for the priests. And he passed it out to his troops. We can see how he used all kinds of examples. He said, you know, you're not going to give your kid a snake when they ask for some bread. And all those things we read in Scripture, some of those are humorous, absurd examples. And we tend to sometimes get way too uptight about using the metaphors of life when we are free to do so. I don't know what happens around your house. Around our house, it's chaos all the time. And things just happen. Now, there are things I have found that are funny and things I'm not funny. And I will tell you, the reason the Monopoly set was worn and tattered but has not been used in years. I mean, Benjamin said he's played it online. Jacob said, I don't think I've ever played. There's a reason we don't play Monopoly. Because we have played in the past and it did not go well. Everybody didn't share that same hilarity in the game. Just like the time I thought it would be funny to put salt in Christy's coffee. I thought it was too. I thought it would be, you know, be one of those things we look back, oh, it was not funny. And so I learned that wasn't funny and that was not the way humor should go. And you learn each other. You know, you learn how we can laugh with and laugh at. And sometimes there is a great difference. We don't pick on people laughing. We laugh with each other. Jesus brought joy to this earth. I can think about when he described the care with which the religious leaders washed the outside of their cups before drinking from them, but left the inside messed up. Now that's funny. I can think about how ludicrous it was when he claimed that he was casting out demons by the power of the head demon himself. He said, are you kidding me? You think demons can cast out? Are you really kidding me? I wish Jesus were from southern United States. We might, you know, see a lot more in Scripture like that. Jesus talked about stuff that was so absurd. You know, he said, you know, are you going to wash your inner clothes, after you take, or you're going to give people your inner clothes after they take your outer clothes, he'll leave you with nothing. You know, that's an absurd thing. Can you be born a second time? Chop off your hand, pluck out your eye. He uses all these things. And all those things create in our minds word pictures that are highly unusual. Because God comes from a place that is highly unusual. The problem of this world is not that we have too much light, we have laughter directed in the wrong places. There is a warning in Scripture again, do not be part of coarse jesting. And most of the laughter we have is coarse jesting. If you watch a sitcom, there are innuendos and things implied that are part of coarse jesting, not wholesome laughter. Mark Twain said laughter is the greatest weapon that we humans possess, and it's the one we use the least. There's a Jewish proverb that says, what soap is to the body, laughter is to the soul. Or, as one unknown author said, love makes the world go round, but laughing keeps us from getting dizzy. Let me conclude by mentioning four types of laughter, and I know I'm watching the time. There's the laughter of unbelief. Now, this is the laughter we want to avoid, and this is we want to believe the Lord. Sarah had this laughter. She laughed in unbelief, and, you know, sometimes even the Lord leads us in direction. We just say, you don't know me. How can that happen? But in our laughing and unbelief, we need to be aware. And we start laughing at what God has called us to do. I'm not so sure that it sometimes God says, you know, I'm going to really show you I can come through in big ways, ways that you can't expect, ways that you can't imagine. And we get done with this, you'll be laughing at how absurd it was that you ever questioned me. A second thing, there's the laughing of the fool. We definitely want to avoid this. We see in Ecclesiastes 7:6, for the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fool. It's like a man went to the doctor, and he said, doctor, I'm sick with a deadly disease. And he said, what's the disease? He said, I'm just simply depressed. I can't find happiness anywhere. Nothing makes me laugh. I have nothing to live for. Doctor, if you can't help me, I'm going to kill myself. The doctor says the sickness won't kill you. You only need a change of pace. You need to laugh and get some pleasure. What shall I do? The man said. And the doctor said, go to the circus to see Grimaldi the clown. Grimaldi is the funniest man alive. I saw him a couple of nights ago, and I'm still laughing. Go see Grimaldi the clown, and he will cure you. And the man had this look of pain across his face. He said, doctor, you can't joke with me. I am Grimaldi the clown. And that's what sometimes we come to. We are like the fool, and we laugh at the wrong things instead of having the laughter that God gives us. We laugh when people talk about sexual immorality. We laugh when they talk about things that are smutty and dirty in this world. And really, those things ought to be a sharp pierce to us. And we ought to be offended. And we ought to say, you know, I don't find that funny at all. And as we are led by the Spirit, it's interesting of how we understand appropriate laughter from inappropriate laughter. Third thing, there is the God kind of laughter where He sits at the heavens and He laughs at those who scoff at Him because He says He knows what is to come. But finally, fourthly, and then we'll end with this, there is the laughter of salvation. Above all else, Barney Fife brings me a temporary laugh. Spilling Cheerios all over the kitchen. It's funny for a minute, you know, all that good stuff. And those are temporary laughter. The real laughter I have is I laugh in salvation. Luke chapter 6, verse 21. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. I weep over people. I weep over situations. Mostly I weep because I was lost, broken, undone, had no way to get to God. I was a sinner and I could not save myself, but the Lord reached down and He saved me. He drew me unto Himself. Now I have salvation. I am secure. I have peace. I am the Lord's. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now I can laugh. I can have cheerfulness in life. And I want to say, you know, when we get to heaven, I believe there's going to be a lot of laughing. Laughter of congratulation, you know. Laughter of reunion. Don't you love to reunite? The laughter of forgetfulness, that's behind. The laughter maybe of sweet memories, I don't know if we'll remember some things or not, maybe good things, I don't know. Laughter of victory and triumph. The laughter that heals. The laughter that comes from God. In Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Slow down. Trust in the goodness of God. Learn to laugh again. Encourage others. Enjoy every moment that God has given you to enjoy. Even if you're in the midst of tragedy, you can enjoy the Lord. So my takeaway today is go laugh. Go laugh. And allow laughter to be the medicine that God has given you to help sustain you for what you need. The storms are coming. The storms may be here. Peace in the midst of the storm. We can laugh. We can laugh. Praise God. We can laugh. Let's pray together. Father, we understand that fretting is so easy for us. We understand that worry is such a easy place to find ourselves. But Lord, help us to resist those things. Help us not to worry, but cast our anxieties on you. And when those anxieties are cast on you, we have the freedom, like little children, to laugh at your goodness. Laugh because we have the joy of the Holy Spirit in our lives. To laugh appropriately because we are happy in Jesus. Amen and amen.